I'm Lydia Molinera, and this is the Take Care with Meds podcast. We will zone in on health-related journeys and how those experiences will help you with support, guidance, and solutions to impact your own healthcare journey.
The information provided on this podcast is not a substitute for medical care and is not intended to be considered medical advice. If you require any medical assistance, please speak with your healthcare provider.
So today we're going to focus on the E for Educate part of the ACE or ACE in your healthcare journey. Educate is probably going to be the most impactful piece of this journey. And the reason is you're going to be asking questions. You're going to understand what questions to ask. And the advocate piece means that you're going to speak up and ask them. The communicate piece means that you're going to write this information down so that you have it as a reference. And of course, the educate piece is going to be asking the questions, knowing what to ask, and when to ask. So really what's important when you look at the educate piece is your information. Where are you getting your information from? What is the source of the information? When you look at a study, is the study been done with 5 people? And so 4 out of 5 people say that. That's a very small study. Or is it been done with 10,000 people, and so you have an average of 90% of the people in that study of 10,000 people have those signs and symptoms or have those side effects, and so that's maybe a little bit more credible. How was the study done? Was it done after the fact that all of these people had it? Was it done while it was ongoing? Who did the study? How was it funded? Was there bias to the study? So those are types of things that even as pharmacists, we look at when we say, oh, a new study came out. We have to dissect the study. Just because the study came out and it said that doesn't mean that there is accuracy in that. What exactly is behind that study? What's the transparency with that study? So when you're speaking to a healthcare professional, you have to understand that their knowledge and their base is on a lot of studies that have been done and conducted. And that's where our information comes from. Some of those studies have been sponsored by drug companies in the sense that they're the ones that are marketing the drug and they have to, through certain requirements, some of those studies have to be done in order for the drug to come onto the market and sit on the pharmacy shelf. And based on those studies, there's information that's documented and it says, you know, 22% of the people get a headache or there might be constipation because of this. And that percentage is 16%. Based on the people that took the drug, that's what happened to them. And they come up with those results and then they publish that study. There are other ways that you look up information. You could go to a website from a credible organization and you look at it and it gives you information about a disease state and it'll talk about migraines and what does that look like? What is the definition of a migraine versus a headache? How many times a month would be considered severe migraine? You'll have some information that you can definitely look up on Dr. Google. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I just don't think you can be boxed in with it. So where the mistake happens a lot of the times is you read something and then all of a sudden that's everything you have. And you forget that there could be other disease states that mimic that or there's other situations. So don't go necessarily into the office and say, oh, I think I just have this because I read it on Dr. Google. Write down what your signs and symptoms are and when they happen. Have that information and have an open mind because it's through, you know, doing some testing, through some extra information that the doctor knows and some extra information that he's asking you, that the diagnosis that you think you have could be incorrect and it could be something else. And this happens to us in healthcare, period. You know, we sometimes pigeonhole our diagnosis. We think it's going in this direction, but it, in fact, it's something completely different. And after another test, we say, oh, that doesn't make sense. Well, that doesn't add up. You know, we've seen the TV shows where, you know, they can't diagnose something as very difficult to diagnose. Those things happen in real life. So don't pigeonhole yourself when you've got that information. You've got it together. You have what you think, you know, you have an idea. You are feeling some of those things, but don't pigeonhole yourself. Don't have your doctor pigeonhole your diagnosis, because if you go in and say, I think I have this, then that might be where you get stuck with it. And for a while, it might not be that at all. And you're missing a diagnosis that should be treated in order for you to feel better sooner. If you talk to a family member and say, I'm experiencing XYZ, I remember you said you had that too. That sounds very similar. What did your doctor say you had, or what happened with you? What did you have? Having conversations like that isn't a bad thing. I think it opens up the conversation so that you can understand. So those are types of conversations that I think also help on the educate piece by understanding within your own family and your own family history. If you've had a close family member with breast cancer, obviously you want to know that information and you want to make sure that that's prevalent so that you screen properly and within the appropriate times, and as well that you do screening at home. So educate is finding out as much information as you can. I mean, obviously we use the resources of internet, reading books, reading journals, looking at different podcasts information, as well as speaking to family members and friends if they've been in similar situations could help. And then, of course, seeking medical advice from healthcare professionals. Accessibility-wise, we know that there is a pharmacist standing at every pharmacy that's open, and they are accessible. Pharmacists are limited in their diagnosis ability. However, they can potentially direct you into the right area or provide you with an over-the-counter medication or, in some situations, a prescription drug. And if it's not working and it doesn't solve that, then you have an extra piece of information for when you can and do go see the doctor. So let's go into the questions. So the educate piece, of course, is also about what do you ask? I go into the doctor's office and what do I say? What do I ask? When I'm being explained something, what do I ask? When I go into a hospital, what do I ask? What do I check? When do I check? If I'm a caregiver and I need to know certain things about the medication or about the care or the aftercare, what should I know? Who should I call? What do I ask? Asking these questions is about gathering information. Gathering the information is about listening and documenting it and making sure that you have numbers and know who to call and when to call. One of the biggest things that I see is after receiving a diagnosis, getting the treatment, being actively engaging in that as a caregiver or in doing it yourself, then when something kind of goes wrong or you're unsure, you don't know what to do, you don't know who to call. What do I do when something doesn't go according to plan? That's also part of the educate piece. Let's break this down. So I'm going to say, let's say now we have a sign and symptom, and we are going now saying, well, you know what? This has been going on for 7 days. I still don't feel well. I'm going to go into the doctor's office. Most times it's a 15-minute timeline for you to explain yourself. So now imagine you have it written down and you say, 7 out of 10 times this week, I have had a bad headache and I don't know why. I've also had XYZ. You explain yourself. The more detailed you can explain, quick, concise, detailed and to the point, the better. And then the doctor or the prescriber, whoever the caregiver is at that time, is going to ask you questions. And they're asking the questions because they're trying to diagnose what it is that you may have or they're trying to see if there's any other tests that were completed, any medications that you took, what happened when you took those medications, when you went and had something done. Let's say that you had a CAT scan. What were the results? Do you know? Those kinds of things are going to be asked of you. So having that information is critical. You then will be asking, once the doctor decides, I'm going to give you a requisition to get some tests done, you're going to take those and say, so what should I be doing in the meantime? Because from the time you leave the doctor's office to the time you get the tests done, to the time you get the results and go back to the doctor to find what they are, your headaches aren't going to miraculously disappear, or whatever the sign and symptom is that you have. So what do you end up doing in the meantime? That's a question to ask. In the meantime, if you don't have an answer to your problem once you're leaving the doctor's office, you should be saying, what do I do in the meantime? Is there a medication I should take? Is there a non-drug measure I should be following? What's the best thing that I do? What should I be tracking? How do I understand what to do at this point based on those signs and symptoms? So the question at that point is, anytime you receive a prescription, the question should be, how is this going to help me? If you're handed a prescription, why do you think this is going to help? And how will it help? Those are the two questions you should ask. So if the doctor says, well, I think this is going to help you because it's going to allow you not to suffer with your medications, then that's your answer to how it's going to help. And why do I need to take this instead of taking Tylenol or Advil or an over-the-counter medication? So that's some of the things that you want to do as soon as you get the prescription. What do I do if it's not working? Now, the question you might think, well, that's obvious. If it's not working, I'm just not going to take it. But if you're taking the medication for something like your asthma and you're not able to breathe, then that begs the question, well, what else is going on? And I had a situation where one of the ladies was taking medications for her lungs and she was on pretty much everything that you could be on. And when I was talking to her, she's like, sometimes I have still a really hard time breathing. And my answer to that was, well, you should go back and have, you know, maybe a chest x-ray or have another pulmonary function test done because something doesn't seem to be right. If you're taking all of these medications, you should get relief. So this is why I say, when do I come back if it's not working? Because then obviously that's the piece where we know now that particular medication is supposed to do this and it's not, so there's something else going on. That's your responsibility to make sure that you ask that question and you go back so that you can get to the proper diagnosis better, or you can get to a better medication so that it does actually help. The critical thing there, though, on your part is to make sure that you're documenting how you're taking that medication and when you're taking that medication so that the healthcare provider knows. And then one of the other things that I would say is, what do you think the diagnosis is? Hopefully you have had that discussion before a prescription is handed to you or before he or she, the healthcare provider, provides you with a requisition to go to get your lab work done. What do you think it could be? And I mean, maybe the answer is just going to be, not sure, we're going to have to run some tests and see. And that's okay. Then you know that there's really no answer at this point, and you need to go get those tests done in order to help figure out what's going on so that we can have an action plan. Now, something as simple as a throat infection. You go to the doctor, you walk into the office. I've had a really bad sore throat, very difficult to swallow. It's happened for 3 days. I've taken Tylenol, I've taken Advil, I've taken Motrin, I've taken Aleve, whatever pain reliever you've taken, it hasn't worked. And it's still bothering me and I'm in extreme pain. Okay, we're going to swab it. In the meantime, here's an antibiotic. You take the antibiotic and then your sore throat is still not gone away. When do you come back? When do you stop the medication? When you have a rash? When you have diarrhea that lasts greater than 4 days? What do you do? So at the doctor's office, Why do I need this? How is it going to help me? What is it? When do I come back? And what do I do in the meantime? And one of the major questions, why do I need this? So when you're handed a prescription, why do I need this? Knowing why you need it is going to help you understand to take it. If you don't agree with the why do I need it, I'm not suggesting that you have to take everything that somebody gives you a prescription for. But what I am suggesting is find out why that was prescribed for you. And are you engaged in following that plan? And if you're not, speak up and say, I don't really feel comfortable taking that. I don't know if that's going to be the best situation for me. Could we do this test instead? Could we look at another medication instead? My mom took that medication and she had a bad reaction to it. There has to be a reason why you're not going with the plan. And you want to know everything about the plan and agree with it, because it's going to increase your likelihood to follow it and to take the medication according to plan and to go back and see the doctor and to go and get the tests done. So really important question, why? If the doctor suggests, well, it looks like we're going to have to do surgery to remove that, the question there is going to be, is that necessary? Why do you feel I need that? Why is that necessary for me? Is there anything else that can be done? If the doctor says, I'm just going to give you this medication, and you feel like, well, you know, I'd really like to have that bump biopsied, then you need to suggest that. You need to say that. I had a personal situation where I went to see my family doctor who referred me to a gynecologist. And in my own personal situation, when I went to see the gynecologist, he gave me a cream to use and said, try this, give it 7 to 10 days and see if it makes a difference. I said, okay, I can try that, no problem, but I want a pap test done. And I hadn't had one in 3 years and I wanted one done. So I said, okay, I'll take the prescription, but is there a reason why I wouldn't have a pap test done at this time? Nope, no reason. So he did a pap test. And the pap test was very important for me to have at that point, because it was nothing to do with an infection, nothing to do with anything that the antibiotic cream is going to help me with. It was, in fact, some atypical cells, and I needed to have procedures done in order to remove those from the cervix. So not asking for that pap test at that point, I don't know what would have happened. So I asked for that, and I said, I'll go with this plan, but I really want this done too. Yes, my knowledge did have an impact on that decision and that question for me to act and for me to ask that, but that's where you can do your research and your reading to know that that might be a viable situation for you. Now, fortunately, the gynecologist, of course, agreed and said, oh yeah, I just realized you haven't had that done, so yeah, let's do it. Screening is really important. If you don't know when certain things should be screened, then you should ask, when was the last time I had that? At my age, what kind of screening should I do? When you go into a physical, maybe you don't have any signs and symptoms at all. But when you go in for a physical, you should be asking those questions. At my age, what needs to be checked? There's guidelines available and physicians know them and typically they follow them. And it would be a really good idea for you to know them as well. That's available on your state or your province's websites. Those regular screening, the vaccinations, those things are written and available from reliable sources. So you want to know those things and you want to ask for those things. So that's what I would suggest at the doctor's office. Bring your information with you, explain what happened. Then when you're given a plan, ask the questions of that plan, be comfortable with it, follow the plan, go back and see the doctor. And ask when you should go back and see the doctor and when should you call the doctor in the meantime if something gets worse. And they will likely say, if it gets worse, then do this. If you don't have the answer to that question, you should ask it. There's no harm in double checking. Just double check and ask again. So the E part of acing your healthcare journey is intense. It is, in fact, combining everything, because this is where you're going to make the biggest impact. This is where you ask all your questions, you write down your information, you have a plan, you follow up on the plan, and you continue to check and you continue to ask questions. It doesn't go away until you feel 100% better, or until you have a plan where then you know how to handle and manage whatever disease state or whatever condition you're treating. That's the most important thing. Ask your questions, know what to ask, and check. And this is the ACE in your healthcare journey. For resources and information on how you could be on the podcast, visit lydiamolinera.com. Original music by Darren Hagen.